Grace the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this Sunday, this beautiful Sunday that the Lord has given us to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just remind you of a couple of announcements. Again, November the 21st is the last day to have your reports into the office for our in anticipation of our December 8th congregational meeting. Please mark those days down on your calendar and plan to attend church on that day, December the 8th, for our annual congregational meeting. Also, please mark down November the 16th is the day for the women fall gathering. It'll be 10 a.m. Here at the church, the Presbyterian Women of Alney will be holding their fall gathering. So that, again, will be November the 16th. Please, too, take the time to read thoroughly your bulletin, as well as go to our church website to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
Our first scripture reading will be from the Old Testament, Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 9. Your Pew Bible can be found on pages 605 and 606. Hear God's word for us. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And he will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all people, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Next scripture reading is Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6a. Let us hear God's word for us. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, or any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end.
And now, friends, hear these words from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading from the 12th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verses 28 through 34. Let us now listen to God's word for us. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the first of all? And Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other but he, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any questions. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Today, as you heard, is, of course, All Saints Sunday. This is the Sunday we gather to remember the saints, and not just to remember them, but to also acknowledge their continued presence in our midst. I love All Saints Day, in part because we live in a terribly individualistic society, and it often affects our religious understanding. We often emphasize our personal relationship with God or our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's fine as far as it goes. There's a place for that, but All Saints reminds us that the Christian faith is not just about my personal relationship with the Lord. It's not just about my personal destination, but All Saints is about all of us. It's about all of us who are alive in Christ, wherever we may be. And it's about all of those who have come before us, all of those who have died in the faith. We are all one. That's what All Saints reminds us. We are all one. We are all part of the same community. We are all saints. Frederick Buechner once said that God, out of God's great love for the world, occasionally drops a handkerchief to the world, and those handkerchiefs are the saints. And I don't know how you like being likened to a handkerchief, but today we celebrate those handkerchiefs that have gone back to God over the course of the last year, and indeed we celebrate all of those who have departed and gone to be with the Lord. The names that we read off this morning are the names of people who no longer walk among us. But even though they are dead to the world, they are alive in Christ. They are vouchsafed close to the heart of God. They are loved by God, cared for by God, and they are awaiting that day, like all of us, when God will make all things new. And so All Saints Day is not just a time for us to remember the departed, but it's also a time for us to remember the hope that we have as God's people. This Sunday is both a time to remember and also a time to remember our hope, the hope that we have. To be a saint, of course, is to be people who live by hope. You know, we live in a world where there's so much despair. We live in a world where people are constantly wringing their hands. We live in a world where people constantly are anxious about the future, anxious about the world, anxious about the nation. That anxiety level is pretty strong today, especially in our nation, as we're on the cusp of an election. There's all kinds of anxiety all across the political spectrum. People are anxious about what's going to happen, anxious about who's going to win, and some people are just downright despairing on both sides. But as saints, as God's people, we are people of hope. We are people who know the future. We are people who can see the future. That's what a saint is. A saint is someone who can see the future, see God's coming future. That's what I like about our readings this morning from the prophet Isaiah and the book of Revelation that Howard read this morning, because they speak of hope, the hope that we have as God's people. Isaiah tells us that the shroud the covering that shrouds all people, that covers and shrouds all nations, the shroud of death, that shroud will one day be lifted. And death will be no more. Death will be swallowed up. That's what we are reminded of this morning as saints, as God's people, that one day death will be swallowed up. And not only will death be swallowed up, but everything that portends death will be swallowed up as well. One day there will be no more tears. One day there will be no more crying. There will be no more sickness or disease. There will be no more hurricanes, no more pandemics. There will be no more war, no more poverty, no more cancer, no more dementia. There will be nothing that smells of death. Death will be swallowed up. Death will be no more. Death will be done away with. And God's self will be in the midst of us. God's self will be in the midst of his people, in the midst of the world. Sometimes we think that the end game is for us to escape the world and go to heaven when we die, and that's fine as far as it goes. That's where our loved ones are this morning. Those that we love, those that have gone before us, they are now vouchsafed with God. They are close to the heart of God. They are in heaven. But we're reminded this morning that our hope, the end game, is not so much about us going to be with God, but it's about God coming to be in the midst of us. It's about heaven coming down to invade our world and to heal our world, this death-laden world, and to make all things new. That's the hope that we have this morning. That's the hope that we have as God's people, as God's saints. But being a saint is not just sitting back and waiting for that to happen. Being a saint is about anticipating God's coming future. And it's about living into it right now. To be a saint is to be people who love. To be a saint is to be people who love God and who love our neighbors. That's what we're reminded of in our text this morning. We are told that we are called to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, and all of our souls, and in all of our strength. We are called to love God with everything we have, with all of our lives. I don't know about you, but if you're anything like me, you might be challenged by that little word, all. Loving God with all of what we have. I'm confessed that I've been tempted from time to time to reserve just a little bit of myself for something else. There's always a little bit of myself that I'm tempted to give to something else, a little bit of myself that I don't want it to be under the purview of God. Many, many years ago when I graduated from college, I remember I was undergoing a crisis point in my life. All kind of things seemed to be going wrong, and I didn't know what I was going to do or even what I wanted to do. I had to drive halfway across the country from Missouri to Aberdeen Proving Grounds to train in my branch. I was commissioned as an officer in the Army Reserve, and I was going to have to do that, and I was feeling a little bit anxious about that and just didn't know what I was going to do. I was filled with the crises, and I remember staying up all night the day before I was taken off for Maryland, and I was reading a biography of St. Francis of Assisi, trying to find some direction, some guidance about what I was to do. And I discovered slowly that the source of my crisis was trying to figure out how I could serve God and serve my own interests too. How I could be available for God, open for God, but also how I could do my own thing, how I could live in ways that I had wanted to live. I wasn't quite sure that I was ready to have God be the source over all my life. That's the problem with the rich young ruler that we read about a couple of weeks ago. You know, he loved God. He obeyed all the commandments. He wanted eternal life. He loved God a whole lot. But Jesus tells him, I want you to love me with those riches that you have. I want you to love me with those too. I want you to love me with everything, with all of your heart, all of your strength, all of your mind. I want all of you. And the rich young ruler walked away. He loved God, but he didn't love God with everything that he had. The Bible has a word for that, for that part of ourselves that we sometimes try to protect from God, that word, that part of ourselves that we don't always want to give to God, that part of ourselves that we're tempted to give to something else, whether it be our money or whether it be some aspect of our identity, whether it be our nation, whether it be our race, whether it be whatever it is, that part that we want to give to ourselves and not give completely over to God, and that word is called adultery. And that's where that great Shema, the great part of that command that Jesus quotes in our gospel reading this morning comes from. It comes from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your hearts. Don't love anything else. Love God with everything. Because if you try to love something else, even if you just want to love it a little bit, you'll find that it's in competition with your love for God. And before you know it, you'll be enslaved to things that can't really give you life. Only God can give you life. And so if you want to be a saint, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength. Second, to be a saint is to love our neighbors. That seems obvious enough. We know that as God's people, we are called to be oriented to others, not just to be concerned with ourselves, but to love our neighbors. But let's face it, the operative command of our world is to hate your neighbor. Isn't that what we're constantly told in so many ways, to hate your neighbor? Don't we hear that message again and again? Hate your neighbor. Hate the neighbor who's different from you. Hate the neighbor who looks different from you. Hate the neighbor who's across the border. Hate the neighbor who may be of a different religion. Hate your neighbors. It's the power of death speaking to us. Hate your neighbors. But to be a saint is to love our neighbors. To be a saint is to be people who are rooted and grounded in love. And that's what our world needs right now more than anything else. What our world needs more than anything else right now is we need more saints. We don't need any more celebrities. We don't need any more billionaires. We don't need any more politicians. We don't need more MAGA, and we don't need more woke. We don't need more Democrats or more Republicans. We don't need more conservatives or more liberals. What we need more than anything, what our world is desperate for right now, is that the world is desperate for more saints. It's desperate for more people who love God with everything and who love their neighbor as they love themselves. That's what the world needs right now. That's what we need right now in our current moment. We need saints. Often when I look at what's happening to our nation, how divided we are, the sad part is that it seems it's hard to find people who can speak to us in a deep way, who could bring us back together, who could help us to see each other not as enemies, but as friends. There almost seems like there's no institution that can do that. I know some people were turning to the courts and was hoping that the courts could be that place, that institution, and people were looking. What could bring us together? What could help us be Americans? What could help us to get past the divide, the anger? What could help us? Some people even thought it could be the church. There's Christians that the church could do it. That's my hope too, but sometimes even the church seems that it's plagued by the same anger and division. But what we need this morning is we need saints. People who endeavor to love God and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. I love what Jesus tells the scribe who approaches him in our gospel reading this morning. You know, the scribe is trying to catch Jesus up. He's offering Jesus a got-you question. Tell me, Rabbi, which commandment is the greatest commandment? Which commandment is first? Which is the commandment upon which everything else is built? What's the greatest commandment? And of course, Jesus answers him, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. And the scribe is impressed. In fact, the scribe and Jesus seems to be impressed with each other. But the scribe is impressed by the Lord's answer, and he says, Lord, you're right. Loving God and loving the neighbor, that's better than everything. That's better than all the burnt offerings and better than all the sacrifices. I know when we think of sacrifices, we think of the ritual sacrifices, the burnt grain offerings, and the burnt offerings that was offered on the temple. But let's face it, we live in a world where we're willing to sacrifice a lot. We live in a world where we're willing to sacrifice people. We live in a world where we're willing to sacrifice the most vulnerable. We live in a world where we're willing to sacrifice the stranger and the immigrant. We live in a world where we're willing to sacrifice the weak. We live in a world where we are willing to sacrifice children. We live in a world where we are willing to sacrifice a lot, oftentimes for the sake of a corrupted sense of what we believe is right. But even the scribe understands that to love God and to love neighbor is better than all the sacrifices. And Jesus tells him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from God's reign. You're not far from understanding what it means to be a saint. I've been a pastor now for a long time. It's kind of hard to think about. Time has flown by so fast. But I've been a pastor doing this for about 30 years, over 30 years. And it's interesting, throughout that time, I've noticed that whenever I talk about love, that sometimes people are a little bit reticent, a little bit resistant to it. Even though the Apostle Paul says, you know, three things remain: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Even though Jesus tells us that the greatest command is about love, loving God, a God who has first loved us, and loving our neighbor, even though love seems to be highlighted, sometimes there's just a little bit of reticence, I notice, when we start talking about love. And I understand it a little bit, at least I think I do. When we talk about love, what often comes to mind is kind of a gooey emotion. But Jesus isn't talking about a gooey emotion here. The word love is the Greek word agapeo. And it's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. But like all the other Greek words for love, it's an orientation towards the other. It's the way we treat people, and agapeo love is that self-giving love, that self-offering love. It's the same kind of love that God has given us, a love that reaches down to us even when we can't help ourselves. The love that says, I'm for you, even though you can't be for yourself. The love that calls us when we are weak and are still enemies to God. The love that's willing to die for all of us, not because we're good or perfect, but because we can't help ourselves. That's the kind of love that Jesus says we should have for others. That's the kind of love that makes us a saint. Here's a little story I read this week. It's about a man who died and went up to the pearly gates. And he gets there, and Peter says, congratulations, you've made it to heaven. And the man is ecstatic. He goes in through the pearly gates, and heaven is everything that he imagined. There are pearly gates, there are streets made with gold. There are all kinds of mansions and beautiful dwellings. It's just a beautiful place, and the man is just overcome by it all. But there's just one problem. He doesn't see anybody there. He spends all day enjoying the rest of heaven, but he doesn't see anybody there. And so he goes back to St. Peter, and Peter says, how are you enjoying your stay here in heaven? And the man says, it's great. It's everything that I was anticipating, but there's just one problem. Where's everybody at? And Peter says, oh, everybody's down in hell ministering to the damned. It's just a story, but there's something to it. You know, the closer we get to God, the more our hearts are oriented towards the other, including the others that we might have given up on, including the others we might think are damned, including the others that we might think are wrong, including the others we might disagree with, including the others we might want to fight, including the others that may be our political opponents, whatever. The closer we get to God, the closer our hearts are turned towards those whom we are called to love. And that's what a saint is. A saint is somebody who loves God with all of their heart, mind, and strength, and who loves the neighbor as they love themselves. And that's what we need right now more than anything. Saints. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us together as your people. You have gathered us here on this day to commune with you and to commune with each other and to commune with those who have come before us. Lord, we ask that you help us to be the people that you have called us to be, especially during this very tense and volatile season. Help us to be your handkerchiefs, the people who bring your blessing of peace and love and reconciliation in the midst of our world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.